tuned for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Πιάσανε τα όρη. Ποιος είδε βάρκα στο χέλμο, στο μέτσοβο βαπόρι. Ποιος είδε νύχτα με δυο φεγγάρια, ποιος είδε ήλιο σαν να χύνω και ερωτευμένα. Για και ψάρια να κορυβάνε στον ουρανό. Καράβια βγήκαν στη στεριά και χάθηκαν στο χιόνι. Κι αυτός που τα ονειρευτήκε τα περιμένει ακόμη. Ποιος είδε φάρο στο ψηλό ρίτι, στην Ελασσόνα λευκό πανί, και ένα καράβι από την Κρήτη να πιάνει ξάνθη κομμωτινή. Ποιος είδε νύχτα με δυο φεγγάρια, ποιος είδε ήλιο σαν να χύνω, και ερωτευμένα πουλιά και ψάρια να κολυμπάνε στον ουρανό.
And we're back. This is the Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaradakis, the Greek radio program which bridges the worldwide Greek community, airing on 22 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. Today we return from a fairly substantial hiatus, one which was unfortunately unavoidable both due to personal commitments and also due to the exciting launch of our parent organization's new FM radio station, WCSQ 105.9 FM, in the capital region of upstate New York, which will be carrying both our English and Greek language programming on a weekly basis. Today on Lialogos Radio, the Lialogos interview series will feature an exclusive interview with economist, analyst, and author Paul Craig Roberts, who is the former Assistant Secretary of the United States Treasury and a former editor of the Wall Street Journal. He will speak to us about the Trump election and everything that has followed, the recent referendums in Italy and Britain, what's been happening in Syria, and of course, the hot-button issue of so-called fake news. And this interview will be followed by our commentary of the week, plus some great Greek music. Our interview with Paul Craig Roberts begins now here on Lialogos Radio and the Lialogos Interview Series. The Lialogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Lialogos Radio. Joining us today here on the Alagos Radio in the Alagos interview series is economist, author, and columnist Paul Craig Roberts. Dr. Roberts is a former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for the United States, a former editor for the Wall Street Journal, and has written over 20 peer-reviewed articles and over a dozen books. Dr. Roberts, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's begin with the presidential elections in the United States. President-elect Donald Trump. Why did Trump win the election, and what does a Trump presidency mean for the United States and for the world?
Well, we don't know yet what it will mean. We know what we hope it will mean. Trump won because he spoke directly to the people in a way that they haven't experienced in my lifetime. He told them that the ruling oligarchy did not have their interest in mind and would not have their interest in mind, that they had been sold out with the oligarchy moving their jobs offshore to where labor is cheaper, and still expects the unemployed American workforce to buy the products that are brought in from China and Indonesia and India and elsewhere. And this resonated with people. They have been experiencing this now for roughly a quarter of a century. There's been no growth in real median family income in decades. Young people can't find jobs that support an independent existence. The worth of a university education is collapsing because there's no employment for that type of an education. And people realize that the economic policy of the country has been captured by the oligarchs and serves only a very few interests. And the consequence has been a massive change in the distribution of income inside the United States. The United States now has one of the worst income distributions in the world. In fact, it's worse than income distributions in many third world gangster states. So he spoke directly to these things. He also said that he did not see the point of conflict with Russia, which no one sees in an era of thermonuclear weapons. And he also said that he didn't understand the function of NATO 25 years after the Soviet collapse. This also resonated with the public because they understand that all these supposed threats is a way of bleeding them in order to put hundreds of billions of dollars into armaments industries. So that's the reason that he won the election. And the reason we are hopeful is that we assume he's sincere about this. We assume he's sincere because of the fierce opposition he has from the ruling oligarchy and from their media prostitutes, who did everything they could to demonize Trump, to turn him into a Putin agent and so forth. And yet the public ignored them, or at least enough of the public ignored them for Trump to carry almost all of the states except for a few really large cities on the coast.
President-elect Trump has made many promises regarding bringing in a new era of peaceful relations with the rest of the world and about jumpstarting the U.S. economy and bringing back jobs from overseas. Do you believe Trump will keep these promises, and what do you make of his cabinet selections thus far?
Well, we don't know if he'll be able to. You see, the oligarchy's candidate, Hillary Clinton, lost. So the oligarchy lost the election. But they did not lose it by such a great margin that they've given up. They're still in the fight. They're still there. Trump has $1 billion, but they have trillions. They're well established. They have many, many servants in think tanks, university faculties, the media. Of course, the neoconservatives who have dominated American foreign policy since the Clinton regime. So they're still there. And so Trump is in combat with these people. Trump's appointments, we don't know whether they will support what he wants to do or not. If they support him, they are the type of people he needs. They're well-to-do. They're self-confident. They don't need the money from the oligarchs. They don't have to worry about their careers when they leave government. So he does have the kind of person you've got to have if you're president to bring about any change. So the real question is, will they support him or will they throw in with the oligarchs? We don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. We can't judge them based on their past associations. I don't think any of them are actual representatives of an oligarch's agenda. So there's a chance they will support him and that they will be strong enough people that he'll have a government that could actually do something. But you can't take it for granted because, as I said, the oligarchs lost, but they weren't routed. And they're still there.
In your estimation, what would a Hillary Clinton victory have meant for the United States in a world, particularly in terms of foreign policy?
Well, it would have meant war with Russia and China and the end of life on Earth. She's an insane warmonger. She demonizes Russia. She demonizes the president of Russia, calling him the new Hitler. She said that the South China Sea is an area of United States national interest. I mean, you can't be more provocative than this. And if you have a president who convinces Russia and China that they're going to be attacked, they're not going to sit there and wait. So we really have escaped Armageddon by the defeat of Hillary Clinton. I mean, this would have been the worst possible outcome imaginable to have her in the White House. Of course, it would have been bad on every other score. Jobs, I mean, she's the agent of the big banks. They've made her rich. She and her husband have a personal fortune of $120 million given to them by the oligarchs. And their foundation has $1.6 billion. They also given to them, but not just by domestic oligarchs, by oligarchs abroad. They sold influence for money. And so to have Hillary there would have been the end, not just of the United States, but probably of all life on Earth.
What is your reaction to the recount effort being led by Jill Stein and the criticism being heard of the Electoral College? Who do you believe is behind all of these efforts?
The oligarchs, obviously, yes. I mean, Jill Stein couldn't get any funding for her presidential campaign, but she instantly got something like five or six, seven times the amount of funding she got for her entire campaign for the recount. So where'd that money come from? Not her supporters. And what this is about, it's part of, you see what happened. The oligarchs were positioned to steal the election for Hillary. But they got deceived by their own propaganda that she was the shoe-in winner. You know, the New York Times telling them that it was 94% certain she would be elected. They didn't bothered to steal the election because they didn't think they needed to. And they were shocked. Everyone was shocked. That is, not the people voting for him, but the media, the oligarchs, the established interests. They were shocked by the election results. And so they've used Jill Stein, who really has no standing in this issue since it doesn't involve her campaign. She has no chance of benefiting from a vote recount. So that they're using this corrupt woman who sold out the Green Party to try to throw a monkey wrench into the Electoral College. It's unclear whether any of these vote recounts will take place by the time the Electoral College has to give its results. It's unclear what the consequences are if the recounts have not happened. Does this eliminate the states from the total? If so, there goes Trump's margin. The only states being recounted are the three that he won, which he wasn't expected to win. And his margin in these three states is not very great. They're not recounting votes in states that he lost by small margins, only where he won by small margins. So this is an effort to steal the election from the working class. who elected it, precisely what it is, and this Jill Stein is part of it.
We are on the air with economist, author, analyst, and former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. And Dr. Roberts, one of the many reactions of the mainstream media has been to attack online news outlets, which they claim are delivering so-called fake news. And not coincidentally, these are outlets that have questioned neoliberal policy, they questioned Hillary Clinton's candidacy, and were reporting on the revelations of her scandals. Your website was included on this list of alleged fake news sites, and apparently we deliver fake news as well, as the online news outlet that I personally write for, Mint Press News, was also included on this list. What's your response to these claims of fake news, and who do you believe are the true purveyors of fake news?
Well, we know the true purveyors are the media, the press prostitutes. We call them prostitutes. The mainstream media throughout the West is totally corrupt and has no integrity. We know that for a fact. And we've had this editor of the largest newspaper in Germany write the book in which he says that that is the case, that there are no independent journalists of any significance in Europe that are not on the CIA's payroll. Same is true here. So what you see happening is that the independent internet media is taking away from the oligarchs' control over the explanations that people receive. So everywhere you see the subscription rates of newspapers falling dramatically, the viewers of TV programs falling dramatically, and internet readership rising. And so this is an effort to try to discredit the people who actually tell the truth by identifying them with Russia. They're hoping that all the demonization of Russia during Obama's second term has aroused fears among Western and Eastern Europeans and among the American people. Oh, the Russian menace is back. And so they're hoping to associate, they're hoping this fear is substantial, and that if they associate those of us who challenge their lives with Russia, it will discredit us. That's what the plan is. Who's funding it? We don't know, because the people who prepared this list, no one knows who they are. When the Washington Post gave it all that publicity, they very carefully did not say who these people are. It is a brand new internet site that didn't exist before a couple of months ago. And who's funding it? I would say the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a state U.S. State Department funded thing. It could be the CIA. It could be George Soros. But it is an oligarchic operation, which, of course, involves the military security complex, because they are the greatest beneficiaries in terms of money and power of all the threats, all the wars. They want a Russian threat for their budgets, for their police state powers. So those are the people who are most likely funding it. It hasn't worked. All it did was to provide people with 200 sites they could go to find out what the truth is. And of course, I made a great mockery of it with my published letter to President Putin, in which I said, among other things, that now that my cover as a Russian agent had been blown, would he please give me a passport so I could get out of the country? And I said, you know, any minute now, the Washington Post will discover that my fellow KGB agent, Ronald Reagan, and I cut taxes on the rich in order to make capitalism so oppressive that people would rise up and overthrow it. And it was full of things like that. Well, this went viral and made a laughing stock out of the Washington Post. We will never recover. And it went viral in Russia, and the media asked Putin if he would give me a passport. And he says, if he applies for one. So, in other words, I think it's failed, but it shows the desperation of the oligarchs. And what they will do now is they will use the people they still control the House and the Senate, because those people who run for Congress have to have campaign donations. And Trump has money, but not enough to fund all the campaigns of the House and Senate. So they're funded by the oligarchs. And so now the oligarchs will get some kind of legislation passed that will put pressure on people who dissent from official lines of the oligarchy, that dissent from the stories they plant in the prostitute media. And so it's going to be perhaps harder to express dissent or tell the truth in the United States. But we'll just have to see what they do to Trump. Or, you know, some people say, well, he was always a fake. But that doesn't make sense to me, because the oligarchs didn't need a ringer in the election when they had Hillary. So they didn't need two candidates. And they clearly didn't want Trump in the election. They tried to deny him the Republican nomination, and then they used the media against him in very vicious ways during the presidential campaign. So Trump said once that he believes in revenge, so I hope he does, and I hope he exacts revenge on the oligarchs.
This is the Alawis Radio. We will return after a short break.
Μπορεί να μετανιώσω που σε χάνω, μα είναι κάτι από μένα παραπάνω. Πρέπει να πάω, πρέπει να φύγω, την καρδιά να ακολουθήσω, και δεν με νοιάζει αν πεθάνω ή αν ζήσω, την αγαπάω. Σ' αγαπούσα μέχρι την ώρα που τα μάτια της βρεθήκανε στο δρόμο μου και χάθηκαν μες στη δική της αγκαλιά. Σ' αγαπούσα μέχρι την ώρα που τα χείλη της αγγίξανε τα χείλη μου και μέθησα, πρώτη φορά που μέθησα. Χωρίς να πιω γουλιά. Μπορεί να μετανιώσω που σε χάνω, το μεγαλύτερο μου λάθος και να κάνω, πρέπει να πάω, πρέπει να φύγω, με τραβάει σαν μαγνήτης, τα πάντα γύρω έχουνε πάρει τη μορφή της, την αγαπάω. Σ' αγαπούσα μέχρι την ώρα που τα μάτια της βρεθήκανε στο δρόμο μου και χάθηκα με στη δική της αγκαλιά. Σ' αγαπούσα μέχρι την ώρα που τα χείλη της αγγίξανε τα χείλη μου και μέθησα, πρώτη φορά που μέθησα. Χωρίς να πιω γουλιά. Σ' αγαπούσα.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We are speaking with economist, author, analyst, and former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. And Dr. Roberts, let's turn to Europe now, beginning with Britain. What has been the aftermath of the Brexit vote for Britain, and have the doom and gloom scenarios regarding the impact on the British economy come to fruition?
No, of course not. The opposite. We were told, too, all this doom and gloom. If Trump got elected, the market would collapse. Instead, it went up 1,000 points. What's happened with Brexit is, I think it's been overturned. The United States is not going to permit Brexit. Washington won't permit it. Now, this may change with Trump. But under Obama, who you may remember, traveled to London to tell the British Prime Minister to forget all about leaving the EU. The EU is a creation of the CIA. It was created so that the United States could more easily maintain control of Europe. It's easier to control the EU Commission than to control 20-something different governments. And so what has happened, the United States government used those three corrupt British judges to rule that, well, the people may have voted, but you don't really have to pay any attention to it. It's all up to Parliament, and Parliament can decide whether or not. And, of course, now Washington is lobbying Parliament very hard with promises and money and no doubt threats. So I don't think Brexit will happen. It's being overturned. You can see this all along the way. So, the notion that it would take 2 years to get out, it takes 2 years to get out. When that came out, I said, they'll never get out. 2 years is all Washington needs to overturn it. And I think it's already overturned with that court ruling. So here you have three two-bit pump judges overruling a majority vote of the British people. And they call it a democracy. What kind of democracy is it? It's not a democracy with three two-bit pump judges who don't amount to anything overrule the majority vote of the British people, and they call it democracy. Oh, boy, a democracy. What a joke. There are not any democracies in the West. Do you think Greece is a democracy? They vote for one thing, and the outcome is the opposite. You can't even get democracy out of a so-called left-wing government. Look, Europe is a collection of American vassals. It's been that way since World War II.
On that topic, Italian voters recently voted no in a referendum on amendments to the nation's constitution. What does this vote, in your estimation, mean for Italy and for Europe?
It'll end up being overturned, like the Brexit vote. Just like here, they're trying to overturn Trump's election. I mean, that's what this vote recount is about. It's the oligarchy trying to overturn the people's will, just like the three judges in Britain, like what happened to the Greeks. So, yes, okay, here are the people trying to use democracy to establish some control over their own government. Okay, they had a vote in Italy. Now, will it stand? That's the question. The vote in itself doesn't mean it's going to happen. Brexit hasn't happened. I don't think it ever will. We don't even know if Trump's going to be president. That's the whole purpose of the vote recount, is to block it. They wouldn't be doing it otherwise. So they've got all kinds of agents to use, all kinds of things to do. The more you look at it, see, one of our best journalists, Chris Hedges, who has had to go independent because the prostitute media no longer will publish his work, he's concluded that the elections can't change anything. Only revolution can change things. And I think that's what the oligarchy is proving. They're proving that you can't change things with elections because there's really not a democracy there. It's a facade. And whatever the people vote, in come the oligarchs, they overturn it one way or the other. They use three pump judges. How will they overturn the vote in Italy? I don't know. I'm not that informed on Italy and the ways that things operate, but they'll overturn it. Or they'll ignore it, or some judge will rule, well, we don't have to pay any attention. Or some judge will rule, well, you know, Italian law is subject to EU law. The EU law is supreme. They can do all kinds of things.
We are on the air with economist, author, analyst, and former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. And Dr. Roberts, in light of the way in which people have voted in the United States, in Britain, in Italy, and in Greece, do you believe that we are heading towards that revolution that Chris Hedges speaks of?
I don't know. Depends on the people. They don't seem to be nearly as feisty as they used to be. Previous times in the United States, when we reached this kind of situation, the government was scared of the people and had to make concessions. I don't see the government afraid of the people. They've got a police state established. They've got internment camps built. They've militarized the police. The police are as well armed as the military. The police routinely shoot people down in the streets. I just don't know whether the people, how hard they have to be pressed. It may be they just simply will cease to have any gain in their living standards and some slight declines over time, but won't actually be facing starvation or homelessness as they have in the past. So who knows? I don't know what they'll do, but I don't think they will succeed in changing anything with elections. Now, possibly Trump being the kind of very strong-willed, determined, ego-type person he is, I mean, that's the kind of person you need for a leader if there's going to be change. You can't have some conciliatory, shrinking violent who wants to get along with everybody. You can't get change out of that. And it could well be that Trump is already rich. He doesn't need any more money. He has a big ego, and he wants to go down in history as the man who saved America, Trump the Great. So if he has that kind of a goal, then the oligarchs are up against a real formidable president. If he can find other formidable people to back him, he could get some changes. But it remains to be seen. We can't know that in advance. That's the hope you asked earlier. What the result will be, we don't know, but that's the hope. The hope is Trump has got a huge ego, wants to be Trump the Great, save America. That's more important than having a few more $1 billion. He doesn't care about all these people. They haven't supported him, these oligarchs. And so maybe something will happen. We'll just have to see. Maybe he'll prove Chris Hedges wrong. But I wouldn't bet one way or the other.
We are speaking with economist, author, analyst, and former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, here on Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. And Dr. Roberts, what's your take on recent developments in Syria and in the Middle East, including the attempted invasion of Syria by Turkish troops? And what do you believe we'll see in Syria going forward in light of a Trump presidency and considering what's been happening in Europe as well?
As far as I can tell, the Russians and the Syrians have won that war. They've defeated the American-supported ISIS, or the Washington-supported. The Americans don't support it, but Washington-supported ISIS sent the Obama regime sent ISIS to Syria to overthrow Assad when the Russians prevented our invasion. So that way we can pretend we're not having anything to do with it. But I think the Russians and Syrians have defeated ISIS. I think it could have happened much sooner, but Putin kept pulling out, trying to appease the Europeans, hoping they would see they didn't need to be American puppet states. But he seems now to have finished the job, more or less. So I don't think the Turks would be permitted to invade Syria. The Russians would just tell them no. And I don't think the Turks think they're a match for Russia, or that the Turks are stupid enough to think Europe and the United States is going to come to their aid if they get in a war with Russia. You know, these nuclear weapons are very, very powerful. Russia can wipe out all of Europe in a few minutes. for these idiot European politicians to be running around fomenting trouble with Russia, they got to be insane. There's no way Europe can come out of this. The same for the United States. You know, here we are demonizing Russia and China. These are powerful nuclear powers. We can't possibly survive a conflict with them. And no one can. So it's all insanity. It's nonsense. It makes you wonder, you know, the people, the Earth is unable to produce leadership that's intelligent. We have it in Putin. He's intelligent. For some reason, the Chinese can produce intelligent leadership. Well, who in Europe has intelligent leadership? Nobody. Maybe we finally have it with Trump. We don't know yet. But there's not any intelligent leadership. There's none in Europe. None.
In closing, and very quickly going out on a limb, what political and economic developments do you believe we will see in the new year 2017?
I don't know. I mean, there's a whole range of possibilities. We don't have time to talk about that range of possibilities. You see, after the first 6 months, we'll have some idea of what Trump is. And we'll just have to wait and see. We can talk again later.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Roberts, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate your interest, and thank you for sharing your audience.
Attention iTunes users, the Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. The podcast of today's interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in the Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, BlackBerry, and Chrome, in iTunes, TuneIn.com, and a Windows Store, and in the Nobex Radio, WeCast, Player FM, Stitcher, and Podbean apps. Stay tuned for some great Greek music, and coming up in a bit is our commentary of the week here on Dialogos Radio.
Και τα δρομάκια και μέσα στην καρδούλα μου παίζουν παγλαμαδάκια και μέσα στην καρδούλα μου παίζουν παγλαμαδάκια. Κάτω στο γυαλό με τα βοζαλάκια δίνουμε φιλιά σαν τα καβουράκια. Κάτω στο γυαλό με τα βοζαλάκια παίζουν τα κορνιά σαν παγλαμαδάκια. Λέγε τα λόγια που με δουν να για να βιάσω καραβάκια. Και στις καρδιές που αγαπούν παίζουν παγλαμαδάκια. Και στις καρδιές που αγαπούν παίζουν παγλαμαδάκια. Κάτω στο γυαλό με τα βοτσαλάκια δίνουμε φιλιά σαν τα καβουράκια. Κάτω στο γυαλό με τα βοτσαλάκια παίζουν τα κορνιά σαν παγλαμαδάκια. Σαν τα καβουράκια κάτω στο γυαλό με τα βοτσαλάκια παίζουν τα κορμιά σαν παγλαμαδάκια.
Διάλογος Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Διάλογος Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. Coming up next here on Διάλογος Radio is our commentary of the week. Διάλογος Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Διάλογος Radio. Following in the footsteps of voters in Britain, in the United States, and even to an extent, voters in Greece, Italian voters vociferously said no to neoliberalism recently in a referendum which was a pure power grab by the country's second consecutive unelected prime minister, Matteo Renzi, a favorite of his European Union and Eurozone paymasters. Just like British voters in a referendum on Brexit, just like American voters who in many senses rejected Hillary Clinton and all she represented, more than they voted for Donald Trump per se, just like Greek voters with their own confused and muddled but resounding no in July 2015, Italian voters put a stop to attempts by an unelected prime minister to consolidate power and to subvert the country's democratic political system, forcing Renzi's bluff now, as he had said prior to the referendum that he would resign if a no vote prevailed. The problem, though, is that two can play this game, and in the European Union in particular, the word no is a favorite, just as long as it's Brussels and Berlin that are using it. And they are. The oh-so-democratic EU is now pulling out all the stops to overturn this latest unfavorable referendum result, pressuring the Italian president to ask Prime Minister Renzi to postpone his resignation, to stay in office so he can ram through his EU-supported austerity budget for 2017 first, prior to making good on his promise to resign. In Britain, we're seeing the government there drag its feet on moving ahead with Brexit, and we saw three two-bit punk judges, as Paul Craig Roberts described them in today's interview, claim that a referendum result is non-binding for the British Parliament. Of course, we all know what happened with the Greek joke of a referendum in July 2015. Not only was the question muddled, unclear, and confusing, but the no result, whether it was a no to the EU and the euro, a no to austerity, a no just to the particular austerity package that was being proposed, or a no to the entire political system, was crumpled up and thrown in the EU dumpster. The third and most onerous austerity agreement to date followed, and now the faux leftist Syriza government is busy preparing Memorandum Agreement number 4 for Greece. For some of us, though, none of this is a surprise in the slightest. 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to visit the EU institutions in NATO as part of an academic program I was nominated to attend. And it is at these face-to-face group meetings with Brussels bureaucrats and technocrats that we were told directly, straight from the horse's mouth, and apologies if I'm insulting horses who are beautiful creatures, that the EU wishes that it could govern many parts of Italy directly from Brussels, and that Italy's previous unelected prime minister, the bankster Mario Monti, was the best thing that ever happened to Italy. This is the European Union that so many people still consider democratic, that the fake intellectual imposter Noam Chomsky says would be a huge disappointment if it dissolved. The same European Union which won a Nobel Peace Prize while participating in war and carnage in the Middle East. The same European Union which has imposed inhuman austerity measures that have been found to violate the basic human rights and decency of what are supposedly equal EU citizens in countries like Greece. But no, and there's that word again. The neoliberal EU and Eurozone train must keep chugging along, and we won't allow such things as democracy to stand in the way. The same EU whose trade commissioner Cecilia Malmström has said that she does not receive her mandate from the European people. The same EU whose unelected president of the Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, has said that there can be no democratic choice against the European treaties. The same EU which is wholly dominated by Germany, whose apparent finance minister for life, Wolfgang Schäuble, who apparently is also the acting finance minister of Greece and Spain and Portugal and Italy as well, has said elections change nothing, there are rules. And throughout all of this, we've seen the international media, including the US media, which is doing a fantastic job keeping the American people woefully and blissfully unaware of anything going on outside the country's borders, selling this image of the European Union as this warm and fuzzy force for peace, as the one factor that is responsible for European countries not waging war against each other over the past 70 years. Never mind that they are waging war, but since it's with non-European countries or is in a form of economic economic warfare, it doesn't count. And the biggest cheerleaders of all are perhaps not the major outlets such as the New York Times and Washington Post, but those oh-so-progressive, oh-so-hip and edgy media outlets targeting the young and the supposedly enlightened. I'm talking about Vice News and sites like Gawker and Slate, and even satire websites like The Onion, not to mention media stooges such as Jon Stewart and John Oliver, all of whom have done a fantastic job of associating Brexit voters with racism and xenophobia. Anyone who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton as a racist and sexist and xenophobe, and who earn their corporate media paycheck each day by repackaging the same neoliberal propaganda in easy-to-eat, organic, farm-to-mouth pieces for the Starbucks and whole paycheck generation. Case in point, the supposedly feminist website Jezebel, which recently published an absolutely hysterical article claiming that WikiLeaks, through its recent tranche of leaks, is attacking, quote, the last bastion of liberal democracy in Europe, Angela Merkel's Germany. Even more amazing was reading the comments section and seeing comments, supposedly all from young women in their 20s and 30s, which is the target audience for Jezebel, suddenly taking the side of US and German intelligence services at the expense of WikiLeaks. I may have my own doubts regarding WikiLeaks completely unrelated to all of these issues, but this issue serves as a case in point for the media propaganda campaign. Ah, but we have the Washington Post running to our rescue, desperately attempting to save us from ourselves, publishing for us a nice, convenient, and anonymous list of so-called fake news sources, apparently under the employ of the so-called Russian menace. And what, may I ask, constitutes fake news? Apparently, as far as I could crack it, any website that is critical of Hillary Clinton, Barack, Hope and Change Obama, or critical of US foreign policy makes the cut. What does this show us? It shows us that the system, the neoliberal system, whether we are talking about its candidates such as Hillary Clinton, its institutions such as the European Union and NATO, or its media prostitutes as described by Paul Craig Roberts, and which includes the likes of the Washington Post and the fake progressive outlets like Vice and Gawker, and their stooges like Trevor Noah and Samantha Bee and John Oliver, will viciously and vociferously stop at nothing to protect the system and will not hesitate to brand and you and I racists and xenophobes and purveyors of fake news, if that's what it takes. And apparently, here at the Alawos, we too are purveyors of fake news through our association with Mint Press News, whom I write for, and through our past association with Truthout, both of which made the Washington Post's anonymous list. Thus far, the Washington Post has refused to retract its anonymous, slanderous list. Apparently, retractions are only acceptable when they have to do with retracting the democratic vote of the people and when the result is unfavorable to the powers that be, as was the case in Britain and Italy and Greece and the United States. But as I said before, two can play this game. If reporting the truth means that we are purveyors of fake news, then we are proud to be reporting such fake news. And in response, we promise to retract real news, like the Washington Post, from our reading lists and call upon you to do the same as well. Follow the Alawos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/thealawosmedia and at twitter.com/thealawosmedia. Take the Alawos Radio on the go with you with the new the Alawos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Alawos Radio and the Alawos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles, all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. TheAlawosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from the Alawos Radio, live streaming of the Alawos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlawosMedia.org. This is the Alagos Radio, where today's broadcast is just about ready to come to a close. Next week, the Alagos Radio will feature our special holiday broadcast, which will be our final show for 2016, where we will have the opportunity to speak to Greek author and architect Konstantinos Staikos, who will talk to us about Greek literature and its role in keeping the Greek language alive during the centuries of Ottoman occupation, while taking us on a radio tour of the Onassis Foundation Library in Athens, which is to open to the public. Stay tuned for that and for some other special surprises coming your way soon. Until then, thank you for joining us today here on the Alagos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Στις ίδιες γειτονιές.